This is Jay Sekulow. We've got a special report on a very important case from the United Kingdom. Hey everyone, welcome to the broadcast. This is indeed a very special report. In fact, I'm on the road, but we've got breaking news, and I wanted to come right in. First of all, let me give you a quick report on two cases, two victories. One, the California Court of Appeals ruled in our favor, and a whole group of lawyers and advocacy groups filed in this homeschooling case, and the court did hold that there is a right to homeschool students in California. So that horrible decision from a couple of months back has now been reversed, so that's a very good development. I want to report on that. And secondly, we had a major victory in the U.S. District Court. The attempt there in Ohio was to have Judge DeWeese. You remember him. He had a Ten Commandments display in his courtroom a few years ago. Well, they tried to get him held. The ACLU brought a charge to get him held in contempt because he put up a new display which had the Ten Commandments and other documents referencing the rule of law in American history. The court refusing to hold him in contempt, and, of course, the ACLU losing the case. Now, there is a possibility that the American Civil Liberties Union is going to appeal that. But again, a victory on a Ten Commandments display, among others. It's really a rule of law display that has the Ten Commandments in it, as well as a victory for California homeschoolers. So I wanted to give you that breaking news. And then also some additional breaking news. Jordan is on the phone from us from somewhere in the United Kingdom, and because of security concerns with the case that he's working on, which you're going to hear more about in the broadcast, we can't say exactly where he is. But Jordan, give us an update on what's happening.
Yeah, I'm actually in a bedroom of our client in a situation where we're not able to disclose the location of where we are in the United Kingdom, their home, their protection. It's an immigration issue, Dad, that we have discussed, a religious freedom issue that ties directly in line with what we were discussing so much on radio, which is Muslims and Muslim countries where Sharia law governs, where Sharia law is the law that is applied with the criminal law as well, become Christians. And we have two here, a man and woman who are married as our clients, and they became Christians. They were living in the Middle East and then in the Persian Gulf. Were receiving threats once their families knew from both of their families that they would be killed, that they were threatening to kill them. Then they started receiving threats from their community, knew they had to get out, came to the United Kingdom, and have had declared political asylum and have had trouble along the way explaining the difference between their Christianity, which is evangelical and would get you killed, without any repercussion for those that kill you in their home countries where they would be sent back to, and the traditional Christians that are allowed and are safe in those countries who do not evangelize at all, don't talk about their faith. Those are the traditional Christian minorities that have been in those countries for a long time. There is no protection for them if they go back home. We got involved in this, Dad, in an incredible way while we were in our office in Strasbourg, France, talking about this Islamic issue specifically, and we got an email while we were all in the meeting about from this couple, from this married couple that is going now through their first appeal here in the court system. They were denied the first time of political asylum. They're now on their first appeal, and we've been with them along the way and will continue to fight with them. But we wanted to come over to the United Kingdom to learn about their story face to face, but also to see their church, to see their community, be able to talk with them. So we've been shooting television shows as well that folks at home listening to radio will be able to watch. Of course, we had to darken their faces. We can't tell you where we are in a lot of the filming. We went to their church. Even their pastor had to darken his face. This is a British pastor in the United Kingdom who cannot show his face on a Christian television program because his church members are Muslims who converted to Christianity, and Muslims here are violent.
I'll tell you something, folks. You're going to get an in-depth report of this. You're going to hear from the husband. This is our client in the next segment of the broadcast, so you're not going to want to miss that. And Jordan's going to be calling in for more reports on the rest of the week, so you'll get updates from the United Kingdom and his other travels in Europe on this incredibly important case. So, Jordan, you'll talk with us again tomorrow. Keep up the good work over there. And we've got a whole team over there, by the way. We should say that. We've got a number of our lawyers and a number of our staff from the European Center for Law and Justice as well. All right, Jordan, you'll call in and give us an update tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Folks, I want to tell you this. We are focusing in on this whole issue of the Islamic Conference, their attempt to criminalize the proclamation of the gospel. When you hear this report that's coming up, you're going to want to get directly involved. Let me give you the number to sign our petition, going to the United Nations, speaking out against this organization of the Islamic Conference trying to criminalize the proclamation of the gospel. Here's the number, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. This is the signed petition going to the UN's Human Rights Council. Again, standing up against the organization of the Islamic Conference. 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
Around the world, Christians are under attack. In Iran, a couple is tortured for reading the Bible. Two men tried and convicted for possessing Christian books in Algeria. Examples of a growing global crisis. Christians targeted because of their faith. Now, one of the largest organizations inside the United Nations is making a bad situation worse. The Organization of the Islamic Conference at the UN is pushing a dangerous resolution called Combating Defamation of Religions. It's an anti-Christian measure, and it endorses what's taking place in many Muslim countries, where those who even speak about Islam are severely punished with imprisonment, even death. Now more than ever, Christians expressing their faith are now guilty of hate speech. The American Center for Law and Justice, along with its European affiliate, is sending a powerful message to this UN group. Its anti-Christian bigotry won't be tolerated. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on to this petition. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C.,
it's one of the most popular Christian radio shows on the air. And ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow takes your questions about the issues that matter most to you and your family.
Let's go to Anna calling from California on line 6. Hi, Anna.
On the broadcast, Jay provides you with the answers you need to protect your religious and constitutional freedoms.
We got a team of lawyers working on this situation. We're going to get a successful resolution.
Now, there's a new and easy way to get the help you need from the American Center for Law and Justice. You can now send Jay your questions and comments via email. Just log on to the ACLJ website at aclj.org, and under the radio section, you can send Jay an email question straight to our radio studios. We want to hear from you. Send us your email questions. It's fast and easy. Send your email questions now. Simply log on to the website, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice, dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms.
This is my right, a right given by God.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everybody. As I said, what we do on this broadcast and what we do with our work at the American Center for Law and Justice and the European Center for Law and Justice globally is we give you the actual stories. Of course, our lawyers and our legal team are working on these issues. I'm going to be before the United Nations in September. We've got a team right now in Washington and in Strasbourg at our European Center for Law and Justice handling a very important case, because we're not talking about things in the abstract here. We're talking about the reality of people that have come to faith in Christ and the persecutions that they would face if they're returned back to their country of origin, especially if that country of origin is in the Middle East, where unfortunately the laws right now not only allow for persecution against Christians, but as Jordan has been mentioning, in some of these countries they're trying to require it. We're fighting that obviously aggressively. We're going to be joined in just a moment by Adnan. He is facing this persecution. He's calling to us from London. But if you've got a question for him and you want to know what's going on in a personal life story, when someone makes a decision for Christ and what they're facing, you want to give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Now, let me tell you this. As we get ready to bring Adnan on, I'm going to tell you this, folks. It's a very serious case. We've got a team of lawyers working on it. I'm heading it up, but we've got a team of lawyers and our legal staff working on this situation. And folks, I want you to write down our petition number to the UN, because this is the kind of story that is going to impact the UN, but you've got to make sure your voice is heard. So during this broadcast, you need to call that number and add your name to the petition. Here's the number for that. 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Adnan is calling to us from Europe. I spoke with our staff very early this morning in Strasbourg. And Adnan, we're talking about your situation, but first, tell us a little bit about your life, where you came from as far as in a Muslim background. You were training to be an imam and then eventually coming to Christ. Tell us a little bit of that story.
Yes. Actually, I've been raised and was born and raised in Syria. And in early age, I had the two languages kind of skills, which helps me to be imam and kind of talk to people, invite them to Islam, and the plan was to be trained to be imam and sent back to Europe. Other things came in, and that was delayed for other 2 years. And I went to an Arabic country in the Persian Gulf in 2001. In 2003, I have known the Christ there.
So let me ask you about this. You were raised Muslim. You were studying to be an imam. You started questioning some of the things you were being taught within Islam. What was it that led, obviously it was the Holy Spirit that led you to Christ, but what were the events, how did that come about, and what was the reaction when you made your profession of faith?
When I was baptized, actually, I took the step to tell the people. I mean, as a part of my faith, that I would witness and I would tell my testimony and I would share my faith and why that happened. So I took the step to tell my parents, and the harsh reaction started from then. That in the first year, they took it like he's a guy who has a problem or something happened to his brain, and soon he'll be back to logic and he'll be back Muslim. And that took a year. After a year, the real harsh problems start to come. Well, the year, I passed through three things, and, you know, people tries to talk, but...
Let me ask you this. You mentioned just now, and this is what I think is important. You came to faith, you made a public profession, they thought maybe you were not stable. And typically you hear that, especially in the Islamic countries. But after a year, they realized it was serious and significant. You made the stand. What is the penalty, not necessarily by law, but within groups like the Muslim Brotherhood, with these other groups, for what they would call apostasy, which is what I guess you would be accused of?
Something in our culture in the Middle East, Jay, I think the people in the West would miss it. It's called honor and shame. Honor and shame in the Middle East, and especially in Islam, basically it's taken from Islam, it would not be washed unless blood has been shedded. Honor and shame, it comes for two reasons. You'd leave Islam and you are apostate. Or the second thing is for a girl to be non-virgin. In those two matters, this shame will never be washed without shedding blood. So apostasy in Islam, through social, it's a shame. And through Islam itself, as a religion, it's something forbidden. Muhammad said, I mean, when we say so, it's not just because of culture, but Islam asks so. Muhammad said, kill the converted. And in other places, he said, whoever changes religion, kill him.
One of the things I thought here was, and you talked about honor and shame. We've even had those honor and shame killings in the United States among some within the Islamic community. But the honor and shame then becomes the unwritten law. We've got calls coming in, people wanting to talk to you and ask questions about this. We're going to take those and continue to talk to you at the same time. Jordan, let's go right to the phones.
Peggy's calling from Massachusetts on line one. Peggy, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Peggy.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm wondering about this Sharia law where there's no freedom. Are they afraid of it? They don't know how to deal with it. So what
No, I think it's Yeah, no, I think, listen, and we'll ask Adnan this, the whole application of Sharia to this, there's no human rights within the Sharia law context. But Adnan, this brings up a question. You were trained as studying to be a Muslim cleric. There's a lot of talk right now about the application of Sharia law, especially in the United Kingdom. How do you view that is it a threat, is it not a threat? What's your sense of that?
I'm sorry, Jay. Didn't get just the last.
Okay.
Few
words. The right now, the call is that we've got a call in England right now, where you're living as you are right now, to include Sharia law as an option within some of the court systems. And there's a concern that under Sharia law, there's really not a human rights system. When you talked about this honor and shame issue, a lot of people think that comes out of this whole Sharia mindset and the whole Islamic law mindset, and it's part of the culture and custom. When you talk about honor and shame and you talk about the application of Sharia, how serious are the threats aimed at people like you who have come to faith in Christ and now are facing a situation where you have to go back to your country of origin?
Exactly. Well, it's so sad when you hear the highest level of law here, especially in England, they would call to get some Sharia law in the British law. I would just drive a little, very small example from the situation we are talking now, from our case. Now, if we come to bring some Sharia law into the civilian law here, which is coming from human rights, if we are talking about England, if I am killed, for example, I have been offended a Muslim by being converted, and he has been offended, and he would kill me, and they go to the court, I would like someone in England to explain how that will work, because if the judge would charge him by killing murder or a murder situation, murder charge, he can lead tens of examples from the history, from Islam, from Sharia itself, from Muhammad quotes, hadith, that I should kill the converted. You know, like in the Islamic countries, if a converted has been killed and he goes to the court, they will not charge him until they make sure that the killed and the victim was converted.
Yeah, so here's, folks, you're hearing it from someone that's faced this persecution. Jordan, this is something you've been talking about on radio, the seriousness of this. The application of Sharia would undercut the authority here and also makes apostasy a death sentence mandatory, and no international body would be able to stand out against it.
That's right. Iran right now is considering the death penalty is already an option for judges in apostasy cases in Iran. The government there, the legislature there, which is an elected legislature, is looking into making apostasy a mandatory death sentence, where judges there don't even have the ability to change the sentence. But also, Dad, that we talked about Sharia law and that Cairo Declaration of Human Rights in Islam put forward by the OIC, by the Organization of the Islamic Conference, which says that Sharia law is the sole source of human rights. And they put this forward at the United Nations. This is their official stance, that Sharia law is where human rights comes from. And people need to understand how dangerous that approach is, because these people are being killed, people are being kidnapped. We talked about what happened in Pakistan, but it's happening all over the Middle East and all over the world.
By the way, the person that you're talking with on air right now, Adnan, is right now subject to judicial proceedings in the United Kingdom, where they're talking about putting Sharia law in place for deportation back to Syria. We are, by the way, working on this very, very aggressively at very high levels of both government and within the legal system. Adnan, we've got to take a break in a moment. I want you to stay after and stay with us for a few more minutes. But let me ask you one question very quickly here. You said this. Is a return to a country of origin for someone like yourself who's come to faith in Christ, was a Muslim, especially being trained as a cleric, do you risk death if you go there?
I risk death in a matter of time from family, from law, from the committee itself, from the family, from everything is around. It's serious. It's very, very serious. But unfortunately, they need me to be killed, and then they would believe me here.
They call, you know, here's the thing. We don't want that to happen, folks, but we've got to take a very aggressive stand. There's two things I want you to do. Number one, if you've got a call and you want to talk to Adnan, I'm asking him to stay to our next segment. You call us at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. The reason I wanted to bring this program to you, especially at the end of the week here, is to put real people and real faces, real voices behind the struggle we're engaged in. You're hearing it. You can hear it in Adnan's voice. We are taking this seriously. I have deployed legal staff from Europe. I have deployed legal staff from the United States. I've deployed our government affairs staff on this. We're dealing with this at the United Nations. We're dealing this within the context of the United Kingdom. It's possible that we're going to be sending Jordan and a team over there in a few days as well. We're looking at those situations right now. You need to go to your phones right now. We've got to stand up to these laws, and especially at the United Nations, to the Organization of the Islamic Conference. You go to your phones right now. I can't give you a better reason to go than what you've just heard on this broadcast. A death sentence for someone who becomes a Christian. Go to the phones right now, 1-877-989-2255. Let me give you the number again. It's 1-877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. You can sign it online. Thousands have. But you call us right now. Stand up for these people. 1-877-989-2255.
Around the world, Christians are under attack. In Iran, a couple is tortured for reading the Bible. Two men tried and convicted for possessing Christian books in Algeria. Examples of a growing global crisis. Christians targeted because of their faith. Now, one of the largest organizations inside the United Nations is making a bad situation worse. The Organization of the Islamic Conference at the UN is pushing a dangerous resolution called Combating Defamation of Religions. It's an anti-Christian measure, and it endorses what's taking place in many Muslim countries, where those who even speak about Islam are severely punished with imprisonment, even death. Now more than ever, Christians expressing their faith are now guilty of hate speech. The American Center for Law and Justice, along with its European affiliate, is sending a powerful message to this UN group. Its anti-Christian bigotry won't be tolerated. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on to this petition. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online at aclj.org.
I don't have time to finish my college degree.
I need a college education that respects my values.
I don't know if I have what it takes to finish my degree.
I'm too busy at work. I can't go back to school now.
You've thought of all the reasons you can't go back to school. But here's something that could change all that. Right now, you could get a college degree on your terms. Online classes to fit your schedule. A curriculum that's rooted in Christianity. From a top 10 online university. And right now, you might even be able to go for free. With both 2- and 4-year degrees available and more than $1.9 million in scholarships and grants awarded to undergraduate students this year alone, a private college education may be closer than you think. Visit ApplyToRegent.com or call 1-888-REGENT-U to find out more about our degree programs, scholarships, and grants.
In certain countries, in certain parts of the world, it can be extremely violent, and it means death. And in the most closed Islamic countries, somebody who becomes a Christian knows that if it's discovered, he will be put to death.
That's from Michael Horton, by the way, the director of Open Doors, talking about the situation for a lot of people that come from Islam to Christianity. And by the way, there's a huge move right now of a lot of Muslims are coming to faith in Christ. The difficulty is that what Michael Horton just said is the death sentence that is given. It's apostasy. And even though there may be laws that protect, quote, religious freedom generally in some of these countries, the application of that doesn't apply to those that are converts from Islam to Christianity. We're going to talk. We've got a situation that we're dealing with right now in the United Kingdom, and I want to get everybody up to date on this. You know, we're handling a situation in the United Nations. That hearing is going to be in September. In November, we're going to be at the Supreme Court of the United States. Between now and September, we're handling a matter in the United Kingdom. What we've got in the United Kingdom is a situation, and our guest is the person involved in this, he and his wife. They've come to faith in Christ. They've made bold and strong testimonies of their faith in Jesus, and now they're being threatened to be deported back to Syria, and they could very well be, as Adnan just said, a death sentence. Here's what I want you to do, folks. Write this number down and call it. We need you to have your voice heard on this so we can protect these people. And Adnan is a great example of a horrible situation. I say a great example because it's real, but a horrible situation because the alternative here of going back to Syria is literally a death sentence, because it's the honor and shame, which under Islamic custom and Sharia concepts is a violation. So you've got to understand, we're dealing with law, we're dealing with international law, law of custom. It's very, very complex, but there's something very direct you can do. When I go to the United Nations on this and these issues, I need you to be going there with me. And I need you to go there with me and take a stand. And how you do that is you sign our petition right now and you stand up for people like Adnan. Here's the number: 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. And I'll tell you something, this is a very, very serious situation. Jordan, I know we've got a lot of calls coming in. Adnan's on the phone with us as well. Let's go to the next caller and then we'll get some more comments.
Nina is calling from California on line one. Nina, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Nina.
Hi. Thank you for your show. I just want to say that I am a Middle Eastern Christian. I'm half Armenian, half Assyrian.
Yes.
Of course, as Christians living in Middle Eastern countries, we are exposed to this. This is not something new to this. However, I am shocked and I am very offended that, I mean, I take it really personally that American churches are hardly moving at regarding an issue that is so serious to our faith. And I want to know why there's no outcry in the churches. There's no,
yeah,
you know, the media, the conservative media, like the Fox News and all the other.
Well, let me, Nina, give you some words of encouragement here. We've heard from almost 80,000 people in less than 2 weeks. We've heard from people from across the globe. We're bringing it to you. You're listening to this, and I'm glad you are, on a radio station in California. We're covering it. We've covered it for 2 weeks. We're dispatching people. There is media covering it now. It's more and more in the press. Right on the front page of the New York Times and the Washington Post. This is why I want to encourage you, Nina. There was reports on the situation for Coptic Christians in Egypt who are facing terrible second-class citizenship situations. So it is increasing. There is movement on this. We are getting results, but it means people like you have to speak out. And the way to do it is to contact us, add your name to this petition, and let us go to the UN speaking for you. Because when you're talking about 100,000 of your constituents speaking out on this, it makes a big difference. Again, that number, 1-877-989-2255. And let me ask you this question. You're getting support within the church body in England, among especially the churches and the people you associate with. How serious of a threat do you think, obviously to you this is significant, that this is beyond you? You mentioned to Catherine Montgomery from our office that there are other examples of situations just like this where people have come out of Islam to Christianity or been facing a very dire situation back in their country of origin. How serious of a threat is this?
again, we say, Jay, the treatment is coming from the family. It comes from the social, and it comes if it goes to the state. I mean, to the country, to the official organizations. Well, you will be in troubles as well. Let me tell you that in England here, just a few months ago, Channel 4, TV4, they have been produced a program in the TV about 3,000 converts in England here. I encourage everybody just to you can find it on the internet, just to listen to those 3,000 what they are facing in England here, where they can go to the law, where they can go to ask police protection, you know. So if we talk about being in the Middle East, there is no authorities we can go to, there is no police. Actually, if I go to the authorities to complain, I will face troubles with the authorities itself before facing problems with the social and the family and the around.
So I want people to understand what you're saying is that there is the recourse when you go back to the country of origin, especially in the Middle East, is zero. There's none because the police aren't going to protect you. In fact, they may encourage the violent act against you. And in the United Kingdom, folks, right now, the head of the Church of England, and Jordan, you've been following this, has talked about the application of Sharia law, and the Lord Chief Justice in England has said the same thing. Maybe we should be applying Sharia law, which, as Adnan just said, would be effectively authorizing his death sentence.
That's right. The Archbishop of Canterbury, who's the head of the Anglican Church in England, said two very troubling statements. The first was his agreement that there may be a place for Sharia law in English common law and English courts. That was the first thing. His second statement, which just came out 2 days ago, was that he understands why many Christian beliefs are, quote, offensive to many Muslims. And he was specifically mentions how the Trinity offends Muslims. And this all ties back into this issue, Dad, and Adnan's talked about it as well, is that we've got governments who won't do anything and or say that, well, publicly they may allow freedom of religion, privately they will not enforce it. There are in Egypt, for example, we talked to a young kid. I can't wait for this broadcast to go over on television so people can see this, but he said the government lets the local communities come in, the police forces sometimes, burn down the churches, kidnap people, torture people, beat people, and then there's no prosecutions. In Egypt, there have been no prosecutions for anyone who has participated in these activities. In Pakistan, the kidnappers got legal custody of a 10-year-old and 13-year-old girl from their father because he was a Christian.
Yeah, this is very, very serious stuff. Let's try to get another phone call here.
Rick's calling from Maryland on line 6. Rick, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Jay. How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Well, I didn't know this was going on, and of course, I will get praying on this and get some other people praying on this. But my question is, how can this man be deported from England? How can the pressure be put on to have him deported for this? I mean, how can he?
They are taking this. A good question, Rick. They are taking the position. They don't question the fact that Adnan has had a real conversion experience to Christianity. They're saying, look, Syria is a big country. There's some place he can go in Syria. And the problem is, and Adnan, I want you to respond to this. The problem is because of the honor and shame customs within Islam, you have no protection inside of Syria whatsoever. If you're sent back to Syria, you have no protection. We need to make that clear to people so they understand it, that you would have no protection inside of Syria as a Christian.
Yes, sure, Jay. First, about relocating myself in Syria, let's guess, for example, I could do it maybe 300 miles from the capital at the desert borders. Your first neighbor will ask your name. Well, my name, my family name, tells everything about me. It tells I'm Muslim. On my ID, we have in Syria a civilian button. You have to give that civilian button in every single thing you have to do. If you get married, if you want to work, if you even buy a house, if you do anything, you should produce and present your civilian button, which mentions my name. If I have to relocate myself in Syria, it means I have to live my whole life as a Muslim, and my kids will come as a Muslim, because I can't go to change my kids' religion and to say, well, they are Christians because the father and the mother are Muslims. So if I relocate myself in Syria, it means I have to hide and be very careful and live my whole life as a Muslim and have to practice as a Muslim.
Because I'll tell you something.
Practice, you'll be subject of questions.
Folks, here's what we're going to do. We're out of time on this broadcast today, but this gives you, I've given you the evidence and the impetus to make that call and have your voice heard. We need to stand up for Adnan. We need to stand against the Islamic Conference in the United Nations, and I need your help. We need your help. Here's the phone number. You call right now. 1-877-989-2255. Let me give you the number again. It's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.